People, look alive. It's showtime.
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1.
It definitely felt good to be back out there. Playing with the guys, you know, doing rehab and the individual stuff. But it felt good to be back out there in front of our home crowd and get a win also.
That right there, Chris Middleton. He makes his return last night, and the Bucks pick up another win. Ryan Horvat in today. Chuck and Winkler, that's the show. They're off for the day. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Let's jump right into it here on Thanksgiving, because we got a special guest spending some time with us today. Matt Velasquez joins us right now here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline to start the show. Find his work at the Journal Sentinel. Matt, thanks for giving us a couple minutes today. Happy Thanksgiving, bud.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
What are your plans for the day? Do you guys got any traditions around the house, or is it just the regular turkey, mashed potatoes, dessert, stuff like that? Do you guys do anything, turkey bowl or anything fun like that?
It's pretty standard. It's going to be a little bit more low-key this year. I usually spend Thanksgiving with my wife's family, and a lot of her cousins and aunts and uncles are spread out this year more than usual. So, you know, that just really means there's more food for the rest of us, which is totally fine with me. We'll play some board games, though, have a good time of it, watch some football, and enjoy the day.
Yeah, it's always a beautiful day. See, the food thing is great because my family lives a couple hours away. I'm working today, working tomorrow morning, so it's just me and my wife. So that's just an entire turkey, mashed potatoes, and everything for just us. So while it might get a little lonely, tons of food will get me through the day. Let's start right with it. Chris Middleton returns. He missed the last 7 games. Last night, he finishes with 16 points. How do you feel he looked off the bench last night?
I think he looked pretty good. You look at the way he was able to start the game. He had that steal. Kind of does a little tightrope walk along the sideline, gets the ball to Ersan for a dunk, shooting well before halftime. Had a little bit of a shooting slump in the second half, but made a key three-pointer when the Bucks needed it to put him up 9 late in the game. So I think overall, he looked pretty good. He didn't play all that much. I mean, he played 19 and a half minutes, which, you know, was kind of the plan going into it. And they're going to try and ease him back as he comes back from this injury. But he said after the game he feels 100%. He feels fine. And that's definitely a good sign, especially for somebody who already was coming back earlier than expected.
Right, and obviously it's great to get back the second best player on your team and another all-star, but defensively the team's looked so good the last couple weeks without him. I mean, Sterling Brown's been fantastic and Dante as well. How do you think the rotations change, if at all, with Chris back?
You know, I think at some point, you know, he'll get back into the starting lineup and Dante will slide out. But I think Dante has played well enough during the time that Chris was out, that he's proven that he deserves to be in there. And the same with Sterling Brown. I think those guys will continue to get some run. It may come at the detriment of playing time for Pat Connaughton or maybe Kyle Korver. But, you know, that's kind of how things will go. And if those guys start to, you know, have slumps or run into balls a little bit, Connaughton will be there. And he'll be able to jump in and play some minutes and generally has played them well when he's been, you know, put in for spot duty. So I think that those two young guys in particular have really equipped themselves well recently, and they'll definitely get some more looks over time.
A nice night for former Buck Jabari Parker last night, a season-high 33 points, also had 14 boards. Do you think that's a friendly rivalry with Jabari or Giannis, or do you think there's something more? It seems like they like to go at each other. Is that friendly, or do you think there's some animosity maybe between the two of those guys?
You know, I think it's friendly, but they both are really competitive guys. And
right,
when they see each other, I think they see somebody who they're familiar with, who they've gone against, you know, hundreds of times when you count in practices and all the things that they've had back in the day. So then they both really want to get the best of each other. Jabari in particular, whenever he comes to Milwaukee, I feel like he gets it going at least early in the game. But, you know, whether things slow down or not, you know, they eventually did yesterday.
Yeah.
But he was great. I mean, he's a guy who, ever since he was drafted, like, we all knew he could get buckets. Like, that's the book on him, right? Like, he can score. You know, everything else, you know, there's a question about that. But scoring has never been a question with him. And last night he put on a show. It was fun to see.
It really was. If only they could convince him, the Hawks, that is, or the Bulls, you know, wherever he ends up being at the end of the season, if they could just convince him that every game he's playing against Giannis and the Bucks, I think he'd be an all-star. Almost.
That's entirely possible in the sense that, you know, we've seen him, even in a Bucks uniform, what he's capable of. I remember at times during that Celtics playoff series, I mean, the first two games, he wasn't great over in Boston, but then he came back to Milwaukee, and he kind of had a chip on his shoulder. And he came out and he played, played solid offense, played solid defense, some of the best defense that he had played in a Bucks uniform. If you can get, the best out of Jabari on both ends, if he's engaged and he's buying into his role, he's still a really good player. And I think that part of him going to Atlanta was trying to rebuild the foundation of his career, kind of reclaim his career, prove that he is a guy who can fit, who can play a role for a team, and who can still, add a lot out there. I think if he can do that in Atlanta, he has a bright future ahead of him.
Absolutely. We're talking with Matt Velasquez. You can find his work at the Journal Sentinel. How important is it for Eric Bledsoe to stay aggressive with Middleton's return? Last night he was great defensively, but with Middleton out, he was attacking the basket. He was doing a lot on the offensive end. How important is it for him to stay aggressive with the return of Chris?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's when he's generally at his best, when he is, messing with the defense by getting into the lane and kicking out to everybody else and finishing at the rim and just doing all the things that he normally does. I think last night he did a really good job of setting up other people. I mean, he finished with 9 points, but he also had 10 assists, and he was making sure that the ball was spread around. That can be part of being aggressive. Passing the ball doesn't have to be a passive activity. He can be, manipulating the defense and getting guys open and then being able to hit them for shots, for layups, for everything else. So if obviously there's some adjustment with Chris coming back. Everybody has to adjust slightly because you have a guy out there who can do the things that Chris can do. But overall, I think, Bledsoe will be able to figure that out. He's played with Chris for a long time, and, this team will be better for having all of its players healthy.
So the Bucks have won 9 straight. Next up, they get the Cavs. Does everybody go, or do you think we start seeing some load management here, or do you think everybody's a go, full go tomorrow?
I think it's hard to tell. I don't think that they are big on load management. Mm-hmm. Like, they like to, rest guys when they're injured. If they're not 100%, like, okay, you have an injury, you're gonna sit. They've obviously sat George Hill for the past two games with back soreness. I think it's more cautious than anything. But with the back-to-back, maybe we don't see Korver in one of those games. Maybe he rests on the road.
Some of the veterans, yeah.
And plays Saturday at home. Yeah, but, they've been doing that with Korver a little bit. But Giannis, I mean, people have asked me or talked to me about Giannis getting rest, and I don't necessarily see it. I don't think he rested for a game, at least on the road, where he wasn't visibly hurt until, midway through the season last year. It was, game 41, and he was really banged up. He fell on his hip hard, and his knee was hurting, and so they sat him on the road in Washington. But that was only his third missed game of the season at that point. So I think they're gonna keep playing him and trying to play him a lower minutes load, which they've consistently been doing. That's kind of their version of managing him, playing him only 32, 33 minutes a game. And you can do that when you have the guys around him who could help you win the game with Giannis only playing that much.
Matt, thanks for giving us some time today. Have a good Thanksgiving, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thanks for having me. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys, too.
Thank you. That was Matt Velasquez. You could find his work at the Journal Sentinel, and he joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Then look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. It is the Chuck and Winkler Show, a special Thanksgiving edition. We'll be on 8 to 10. Coming up from 10 to 2, we will have the Bill Michaels Show today. Ryan Horvath, that's me. I'm filling in. You could give us a call throughout the day, 414-799-1250. Joined today by Evan Heffelfinger, associate producer with the Bill Michaels Show. Does a little bit of everything around here, and we're with you guys all Thanksgiving. Hopefully you stay safe. Enjoy it with your family and your friends. Eat good food. 3 football games on tap. We got a lot to get to, but we kind of just jumped in right there with Matt Velasquez. So let's kind of recap what went down last night. Giannis, 30 points, 10 boards, not even his best game shooting the ball. Chris Middleton returns. He scores 16 points. That was his return from the thigh injury. And the Bucks beat up on the Atlanta Hawks 111-102. That's their 9th consecutive victory, the 5th straight in which they haven't covered a spread. Not to say, but just to say. They were favored by 14.5 points last night, and they win by 9. Middleton returns, though. Comes off the bench last night. You heard it there from Matt. Only played about 20 minutes with that thigh contusion. He'd been out since November 10th, so comes back a little bit early. But did look good, picked his spots last night. Giannis follows his season-high 50 points on Monday by notching his 18th consecutive double-double. 18 straight double-doubles for Giannis as he continues to make his case for back-to-back MVPs. His streak of double-doubles is the longest to begin a season since Bill Walton opened with 34 straight in 1966 in the 1977 season. So Giannis, 18 straight double-doubles, chasing Bill Walton, who opened with 34 straight back in 1977. My only complaint, I guess, from last night with Giannis is just he continues to struggle from the charity stripe. 5 of 13 from the free throw line last night. 5 of 13, but it doesn't matter because the Bucks are on their longest winning streak since they won 10 straight back in 1985. I wasn't even alive. Evan, were you alive in 1985?
No, not by a long shot.
How old are you, Evan?
23.
23 years old. And look at that, man, already getting some airtime. How about that? When I was 23 years old, I was on the airways of, I was still in college at 23.
Really?
I was, yeah. You ever see Tommy Boy?
Yeah.
A lot of people go to school for 8 years. Yeah, they're called doctors. Well, no, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was an English major. I thought I wanted to do sell advertising, but then the recession hit. So my life has been a little bit of a mess, but here I find myself on the airways, and I'm thankful to be here. 414-799-1250. We're going to talk a lot of Bucks basketball. Also, the Brewers make a couple moves yesterday. We're going to talk about that and what their plans are for the future. Packers get set for their Sunday game against the New York Giants, coming off a disappointing loss to the San Francisco 49ers. We're going to have Kevin Payne joining us at 8:35, so we will be taking your fantasy football questions. You got to set those lineups. 3 games on tap today. Bears, Lions, Cowboys, Bills, and then the nightcap tonight we get Atlanta and New Orleans. So fantasy options. Kevin Payne will be taking your phone calls, your emails, your texts. Get him in. He'll be joining us at 8:35. Kevin Payne from rotowire.com. Also joining us here in about 5 minutes, we're going to talk with Ryan Wood. We're going to talk some Packers football. I got a lot of questions for him, mainly about the offensive line. The crossing routes continue to drive me nuts. I went back and watched the 49ers game again yesterday in between watching college hoops because I am a psychopath. And I got even more upset. So we got a lot to talk about today. Happy Thanksgiving. It's Chuck and Winkler, 414-799-1250. Ryan Horvath in for the boys. Evan Heffelfinger alongside here on The Fan.
We're tied for the lead in the division. We still play each division opponent one more time. We're right in the mix where we want to be, playing meaningful games in December. You know, but I think we got to play a little bit better moving forward if we want to get to where we want to go. This team has obviously a lot of goals. It starts with the North, and everything kind of opens up from there. The key is for us is we're going to obviously have to stay healthy, but we got to play a little bit better on all three phases.
That right there, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, as Green Bay gets set to take on the New York Giants this Sunday. It's the Chuck and Winkler special holiday show. Ryan Horvath filling in for the boys, producer of the show. I'll be with you guys from 10 to 2 as well for the Bill Michaels show. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Welcome in from PackersNews.com, the Green Bay Press Gazette, Ryan Wood. Ryan, thanks for giving us some time on Thanksgiving, man. How's your holiday going so far?
Doing well. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
So we just heard from Aaron Rodgers talking about both sides of the ball, the offense, the defense, as well as the special teams. In your opinion, where do they need to improve the most? I mean, we could say all three, but what scares you the most if you're a Packers fan heading into this stretch run? Like, what do they really need to get fixed here?
Well, it is all three, but special teams are probably the worst of the three units. The punting has gone down the tubes. J.K. Scott talked yesterday about how before the Kansas City game, 4 games ago, he raised his drop, which punting is such a technical skill. I mean, it's so every piece of the process has to be in a specific order, a specific place. He raised his drop to try to maximize hang time, and in doing so, he really got out of whack. The last 4 games, he hasn't averaged more than 40 yards per punt in any of them. And the punt return is even worse. So, to me, the special teams is the worst of the three units. But when you talk about what can most impact their ability or maybe inability for a deep playoff run, I think the explosive plays defensively is the one thing that's really holding this team back in terms of this defense. If you erase the explosive plays, it's a pretty good defense. The yards it's given up, a lot of them have been chunk yard plays. If you take care of that, this is a defense that can create turnovers. It's a defense that can get after the quarterback quite regularly. So to me, that the explosive plays are probably the most impactful, and the special teams of the three areas has been the worst.
You know, when you look at the explosive plays, mainly on the crossing routes, and, I mean, the run defense has been atrocious, but the tight ends just continue to kill the Packers. Do you blame that more on coaching, on communication on the field? Like, how do they fix that, or how do they correct that? I know it's easier said than done.
Well, it's a lot of missed assignments. I mean, the George Kittle 61-yard touchdown was a missed assignment. Someone should have been helping out Kevin King in the deep middle there. And, you know, when that doesn't happen, everyone sees Kevin King as being the fall guy, and it wasn't his job to be covering that part of the field.
Right.
So, you know, it's a missed assignment, and that's the issue. You can't have those kind of missed assignments on the defense side of the ball, especially when it comes to, you know, the safeties. I mean, you're the last line of defense. When you're not there, there is no last line of defense. So, to me, they've got the players. It's just a matter of how they play, right? It's a matter of everyone doing their job at the same time in a cohesive way, which has been spotty. It comes and goes, and they need it to be more consistent.
Talking with Ryan Wood, you can find his work at PackersNews.com, the Green Bay Press Gazette. He's joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. I'm a big Darnell Savage fan, but since he's returned from the injury, have you noticed anything? His play looks like he continues to struggle. Is he still just banged up, or is the game just moving a little fast for him? What have you noticed from him in his rookie year?
It's probably your rookie growing pains. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an unforgiving position for a rookie to play. You go back to HaHa Clinton Dix, the last safety that was kind of in Darnell Savage's shoes, and it was pretty similar for him. You know, HaHa Clinton Dix had a big NFC Championship game his rookie year, had a couple picks. Before that, there weren't a lot of big plays. So the way that Darnell Savage Jr. came out of the gates was really impressive. But I think there was always bound to be some growing pains along the way, and I think that's what he's probably experiencing right now. And it's just a matter of how does he learn from, you know, like any rookie, how do you adjust and how do you handle that learning curve and how quickly do you get over that hump? And that's what he's working through right now.
Same thing for Rashawn Gary. Got a little playing time, got some snaps actually in the last game. What have you seen from him? Is he improving, or is he just kind of trying to figure everything out there?
I think he's still trying to figure everything out. The adjustment for him was pretty massive from what he did in Michigan to what he's doing now with the Packers. Didn't stand up a lot at Michigan. Played kind of that six-tech defensive end. Here he's standing. He's an outside linebacker. I mean, that's what he's doing. So that was a big transition for him, big learning curve. He's still adjusting through that. The good thing for him is that he hasn't had to be a dominant force because he's playing behind two dominant forces in the Smiths. So those guys have really carried the load at that position and have done it quite well, and that's allowed the Packers to be patient with Rashawn Gary's development.
When we look at the offensive side of the ball, I know it's so easy for everybody just to say, get Aaron Jones involved in the offense. You got to get Aaron Jones involved in the passing game. But what I've noticed is he's got defensive backs starting to cover him rather than linebackers down the field. What do you think it's going to take for the offense to get back on track and get Aaron Jones his touches, especially in space?
Yeah, no, that's a great point that Aaron Rodgers made yesterday too. Which, you know, he's seen different defenders really since that explosion against Kansas City, who put a linebacker on him basically wherever he went, and it was just a mismatch. That was on film, and teams reacted to that. They adjusted to it. They're not doing that anymore. I think creativity helps continuing to move from across the formation, which we haven't seen as much, it feels like, over the last couple games. And, you know, just you don't want to force him the ball, but get him into spots where it becomes easier to get him the ball. Because when he's got the ball in his hands, he's a dynamic playmaker. And it should be a main priority for him to get the ball 18 to 22 times a game. I mean, that's just got to happen for this offense. So, you know, it's just a matter of figuring out the best ways to do that and inserting that into the game plan and keeping in mind that he's going to be going against defensive backs now and not linebackers.
Taking a look at the injury report, what's the latest on Brian Bulaga? Obviously avoided the major knee injury with the ACL, but I saw a report that he might not even miss any time.
Well, I tend to think, you know, Matt LaFleur said that he wasn't ready to rule out Brian Bulaga yesterday. It's just a guess, but I tend to think that's more smokescreen than anything. I have a hard time seeing Brian Bulaga being able to play this week for a team that is going – the Packers are going to beat the Giants with or without Brian Bulaga.
Right.
They just are. And this is the team that, if when they do, they're going to be 9-3, and they're going to be still on that trajectory to the playoffs. You need Brian Bulaga to be healthy in January. You need him at his best in the more, you know, not more meaningful games, because if they lose, that's awfully meaningful, right? But the games where it's playing for a lot of implications, whether that's the Vikings Week 16, whether that's the playoffs. So if he's anything below 100% this week, it's hard for me seeing him play. And it's hard for me to see him being 100% this week. So you don't count it out. Matt LaFleur didn't count it out. But it's still, I would be surprised to see him play.
With five games left and a couple of easy games on the schedule, where do you see this Packers record finishing out?
Well, it's very possible to go 12-4. They could go 13-3 if they're able to win in Minnesota, which is not out of the realm because they already beat the Vikings and for stretches of that game looked pretty good doing it at Lambeau Field week two. Now, I think that Vikings team is better than what they were week two. I think that having that game in Minnesota is also obviously a huge difference. But if you compare the Packers' remaining schedule to the other four teams in the conference with eight wins or more, there's no question the Packers' remaining schedule is by far the easiest. It's a big difference that they're the outlier, really. Mm-hmm. Each of the other four, they've got multiple tough games left on their schedule. So that's big. You know, Aaron Rodgers made the point yesterday. You win all your home games. You go 4-4 on the road. That should be the goal. And where they're at right now, they're 3-2 on the road. They've won all their home games. Have a chance to win all their home games, but only Washington and Chicago left. I think 12-4 is a very attainable mark.
Do you see that being good enough to get the number two seed, or maybe even the number one, if the Niners drop a couple of games?
I don't think they're going to catch the Niners at this point. They're effectively three games back with five to play. And the Niners' schedule down the stretch is absolutely brutal, starting this week with the Ravens at Baltimore. It's just three games back with five to play. I don't see that happening. And I think that I think the Saints are likely to finish ahead of the Packers as well. So I think a three seed is probably more likely for the Packers at this point, even if they go 12-4. But if the Saints do slip up, and hey, they lost to 1-7 Atlanta at home,
right.
So that can happen. I mean, it weird stuff happens in this league. So I certainly wouldn't eliminate the chance of them being getting a bye. But they definitely need some help at this point. They need to go 12-4. They need to finish out strong, and they need to get some help to finish with the top two seed.
Ryan, thanks a lot, man. Have a good Thanksgiving.
All right, happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
That right there, Ryan Wood. You can find his work at the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. He joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Then look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. That was Ryan Wood. We also heard from Matt Velasquez. Bucks, Packers, a lot going on. Also coming up tonight here at 105.7 FM, The Fan, we'll have live coverage of the Egg Bowl. Three NFL games on tap today. Bears, Lions, yikes. We got the Cowboys, Bills. That's the one I'm looking forward to. If you're a betting man, take the over. I already did myself. And then tonight, Atlanta and New Orleans, and we will be rooting for those Atlanta Falcons, maybe to pull off another upset over the Saints. I feel like Bears, Lions is every single Thanksgiving, and I don't know why I feel that way. I'm actually excited for Bills-Cowboys. I don't think I've ever been this excited for a Bills-Cowboys game, and all it takes is for you to put the Lions and the Bears ahead of it, and then I'm going to treat that game like it's the Super Bowl. We still got a lot to come here in the next 90 minutes. Also, Bill Michaels' show coming up today, 10-2. Myself and Evan will be in. We're going to talk Brewers baseball as they make a couple moves that we haven't even got to yet. The Packers, and then, of course, the Bucks, who won their ninth straight last night over the Atlanta Hawks. In another big night for Giannis, despite some struggles from the charity stripe. But up next, we're going to help you set those fantasy lineups. I'm glad that you brought this up, Evan, because I actually don't have my lineup set for the day. I also got to get some bets in. We got some college basketball action. A busy, busy sports day. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Sit back. Enjoy some food. Maybe you're traveling to the in-laws. Maybe traveling to see some friends, some family. Keep us on all day. You could also find us on the radio.com app. Anything you miss or want to rewind, you could do that. You could fast forward. All that fun stuff. 414-799-1250. Up next, we're going to talk with Kevin Payne from rotowire.com. Rotowire.com. It's Thanksgiving, forgive me. Get those questions in right now. Make sure to use the hashtag AskKevin or I will not see them. Phone calls I'll also take, 414-799-1250. Kevin Payne, rotowire.com, up next. Thanksgiving from everybody here at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Ryan Horvath in for the day. Chuck and Winkler with the day off. As we get set to answer some fantasy football questions with Kevin Payne, you can find his work at rotowire.com. He'll be joining us here in a few short minutes. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Make sure to make it safe. Eat plenty of food. 3 football games on tap. And you don't even got to wait. You don't even got to wait for football. We got college hoops on right now. Evan Heffelfinger alongside producing the show. Evan, your favorite Thanksgiving tradition, that's coming up here a little bit later on in the Bill Michaels show. You know damn well we're doing some Mount Rushmores today. Don't care what anybody says. Favorite Thanksgiving moments, biggest turkey. We're doing all that stuff. Or else it's not a Thanksgiving special, right? We're going to welcome in now, though, on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Kevin Payne, rotowire.com. Kevin, what are you doing for Thanksgiving today, bud?
I am traveling from Buffalo to the budding metropolis of Rochester to go to my parents' house. So I'll be there with my two of my three brothers, their wives, and there will be 9 nieces and nephews there. So it will be a very busy house this afternoon.
Nice. Love it. At least you're not going to your in-laws. No, I'm half kidding about that. All right, we're gonna get right to the phone calls, man. We'll go out to Franklin. We'll talk with Tim. Tim, you're on with Kevin Payne. Your question.
It's actually Tom.
Oh, Tom. Sorry about that, buddy. It looks like we actually lost Kevin there, too. So, yeah. Evan, if you don't mind, Evan, you mind getting Kev back on the line? Sorry about that. We dropped Kevin Payne. What was your question, though?
Yeah, I had a question. That's not the easiest one. Either Chris Carson or Latavius Murray.
Carson or Latavius Murray? I would probably go with Chris Carson. We're gonna get Kevin Payne back on. So if you want to hang on the line here in 1 second, I'll have that question answered for you. Little technical difficulties as Kevin was traveling with his family. So Chris Carson, I like Carson just because he's gonna see a lot of carries. I mean, that's the thing with Chris Carson is he's gonna carry the ball a lot, even with Russell Wilson putting up MVP type numbers. Carson's gonna get plenty of carries. Hey, Kev, sorry about that, buddy. As you travel to your parents' house, Chris Carson, your thoughts on him this week? Or Latavius Murray?
That's a good one. The Falcons' defense has been good 2 of the last 3 weeks. Last week, not so much. I would stick with Chris Carson. So yesterday, Pete Carroll came out and said that they're going to try to get Rashad Penny more work coming off that big game, but he said Chris Carson is still our starter. Just realize if Carson puts the ball on the ground, we might not see him for the rest of the game, but I would go with Carson being the starter over Latavius Murray playing second fiddle to Kamara.
We got an email. This one comes in from Mark, and he wants to know if he should go with Aaron Rodgers or Mitchell Trubisky. He says, yes, that is a legitimate question after Rodgers' performance on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, it is, but Rodgers isn't on the road, and he's not going up against the 49ers defense. So I would go with Aaron Rodgers. And Trubisky's got a decent matchup. Lions are not good on defense whatsoever, but Aaron Rodgers this week over Mitchell Trubisky.
Evan?
Funny enough, I also have one from Mark. He says, hey guys, love the show. Do I start Marquise Hollywood Brown or Mark Andrews in the flex?
Gosh, that's tough. I'm surprised you don't have room for both these guys in your lineup. Must be like an 8 or 10 team league.
Right.
I am going to say go with Marquise Brown, even though he's probably going to draw Richard Sherman. I still like Brown a little bit better. I think there's a little more upside.
And I think Andrews might be a tad bit more banged up than Marquise Brown is.
Cheesehead Nation wants to know if he should trust Ezekiel Elliott today. He's killing his fantasy football team throughout the year.
Really? He's killing him? I mean, like, I would expect this if he, like, owned David Johnson, I would understand. But
right.
Not like Elliott's not doing anything. Had a couple touchdowns last game. So, yeah, you still have to go with Ezekiel Elliott. We'll see if my Bills' defense shows up. But they have not been good against the run. They started out the season great against the run. The last four or five games, they've been terrible. So, yeah, you're still fine going with Ezekiel Elliott.
Completely agree with that. We'll go back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Greendale, where Jim is. Jim, happy Thanksgiving. You're on with Kevin Payne.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, guys. Deshaun Watson or Jameis Winston?
Jameis Winston. This is another case where it's tough to bench Watson. I know what he's done. I know he had a bad week last week, or the week before the bye, or last week. Excuse me, but look at Jameis Winston. He's got six straight games where he's thrown for at least 300 yards. Every week we see either Chris Godwin or Mike Evans go off. So, believe it or not, let's go with Jameis Winston over Deshaun Watson at home against that tough Patriots defense.
Let's go out to Tulsa. We'll talk with Tom. Tom, you're on with Kevin Payne, rotowire.com.
Hey, guys. Got a couple of questions here. First, I never thought I would say this. Ryan Tannehill or Baker Mayfield? Tannehill is kicking some butt lately, and then Brown of the Bills or Allen Robinson of the Bears? Thanks.
So, yeah, so Allen Robinson's going to go ahead and draw Darius Slay, although I'm not really worried about that matchup. John Brown has been very consistent all season. So if I've got to go A-Rob or John Brown, I think I'm going to go with A-Rob. I like him a little bit better. He seems to be able to do things, even with Trubisky not having a great year. So let's go with A-Rob. And as far as quarterbacks go, believe it or not, I'm going to say Ryan Tannehill. Each of his last five games, he has at least 20 fantasy points. He's been consistent, and one of the things that's a little underrated about him is his scrambling ability. That's where he's picking up a few extra fantasy points. So let's say Ryan Tannehill today.
Oh, Evan, you got any?
Yeah, are you expecting Julio Jones to play today? And if he does, do you still start Calvin Ridley over some other receivers like Adam Thielen, Odell Beckham, names like that?
I would not start over Odell Beckham. Adam Thielen, I don't think, is going to play this week. Julio Jones is trending towards playing from every report I've seen. And I think if you have him, it's not a great matchup if Marcus Lattimore suits up and is out there. But I think you have to play him. Same thing with DeAndre Hopkins. It's not a great matchup this week. I've gotten a lot of questions about him. But I think if you have those guys, those were first-round picks or early second-round picks at the worst, I think you definitely go ahead and still run those guys out there.
You could tweet your questions in at 105.7 FM, The Fan. That's what Ryan did with the hashtag AskKevin. Baker Mayfield, Carson Wentz, or Kirk Cousins as his quarterback one today?
Yeah, you know, it's not terrible, the matchup for Cousins going into Seattle. Remember that Richard Sherman isn't there, Earl Thomas isn't there, but I'm going to say Carson Wentz based upon this matchup against the Miami Dolphins. This is such a great game. Hope and pray that if you are a Miles Sanders owner, that Jordan Howard is going to be out. I think that Carson Wentz is going to put up big numbers, and I think that Miles Sanders will put up big numbers if Jordan Howard is out. So let's go with Carson Wentz.
This one also from Ryan. It's a full point PPR. He's looking for a flex. Deebo Samuel, Kareem Hunt, or DK Metcalf?
I would go with Deebo Samuel. Play the hot hand. He seems to get it done each and every week. Not the greatest matchup going in there to Baltimore, who's been solid on defense, but Deebo Samuel has been very hot lately. He's got a good connection with Jimmy G. A lot of upside with this guy. So let's go with Deebo Samuel.
Kevin, thanks, man. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Drive safely.
Okay, thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Thank you. That's Kevin Payne. You can find his work at rotowire.com. Ezekiel Elliott killing that guy's team. I don't know about that. Kevin joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Then look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. Evan, how many guys you got going in fantasy today?
I'm in four leagues, so I've probably got like 32 people.
You're in four leagues?
Yeah, I'm in four leagues.
I actually trim my leagues down to two. I do because we do the auction draft, so I do that with my buddies every year. We get together, have a few beers. It's always my favorite time of the year. And then I do the family league because I got to have bragging rights in the Horvat family. But that's it. I had seven leagues one year, and it would be Sunday, and I'd be trying to keep up with all that, plus get my bets in. It was just a little bit too much for me.
Yeah, that's nuts. I'm in my family league got resurrected this year, so I'm in that one. I'm in two of them with my friends. One of them's a new dynasty league we're trying out, and I'm in a Home Depot fantasy football league from when I worked there like a year ago.
Really?
Yeah, this is the first year they've done it. They asked if I wanted to do it, and I was like, yeah, I like fantasy football, sure.
Yeah, who doesn't? Who doesn't like fantasy football? 414-799-1250. You got all morning to jump on with us. We'll be with you till 2 p.m. as you celebrate your Thanksgiving. Three NFL games on tap, about 27 college basketball games on tap. Those are about to kick off here in about an hour and 15 minutes. Going to have to get those up by here on the TV. Ryan Horvath in with you today. Chuck and Winkler, they'll be back with you guys on Monday. I'll also be in tomorrow morning, I believe from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. I should probably check that out. We're going to be with you, though, celebrating the Thanksgiving holiday. Anything you guys want to talk about, it's a choose-your-own-adventure holiday. We're talking Packers, we're talking Bucks, college hoops, Badgers. We'll talk it all with you. But coming up next, we're going to recap this Bucks win last night. Giannis, another big night, but he wasn't the biggest star last night on the floor in Milwaukee. We'll tell you about that next here on Chuck and Winkler. Chuck and Winkler here on your Thanksgiving. Ryan Horvath in for Chuck, in for Bart. Evan Heffelfinger along for the ride. We'll be with you guys today until 10 a.m. Then we'll be on the Bill Michaels Show, Bill Michaels Network, from 10 to 2 as well. As you make your traveling plans, have a safe and happy Thanksgiving from everybody here at 105.7 FM, The Fan. You could call in at any time, 414-799-1250. Tweet at the show throughout the day at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Find us on Facebook and anything you missed today or any day throughout the week. You could find at theradio.com. At Bucks with a win last night, 111-102 over the Atlanta Hawks at the Pfizer Forum. Giannis, 30 points, 10 rebounds. Chris Middleton, 16 points in his return from injury. And once again, the Bucks pick up a 9-point victory last night over the Hawks, also their ninth consecutive victory. Middleton had been out since November 10th with a thigh contusion. Did come off the bench last night, played about 19 and a half minutes, 20 minutes, and had 16 points in his return. Giannis followed his season-high 50-point game on Monday with his 18th consecutive double-double. Mentioned this in the beginning of the show. Trails just Bill Walton, who opened the 1976 and 77 season with 34 double-doubles. So, hey, maybe when it's all said and done, Giannis could have his name among the greats like Bill Walton, who is one of my favorite color commentators in all of college basketball. Watched a game in Maui a couple years back. For some reason, Bill Walton talked about China's currency and Yao Ming for the entire game, in rather than breaking down the game. So I'm a big Bill Walton guy. One problem last night, Giannis, once again, from the free throw line, 5 of 13. 5 of 13, but doesn't really matter, is the Bucks on their longest winning streak since they won 10 straight back in 1985. So the Bucks continue to roll. 9 straight wins, the look to make it 10, and tie that record right there when they take on the Cleveland Cavaliers tomorrow night. Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, Colin Sexton, and a bunch of bums. However, the main story last night for me, Jabari Parker looked pretty damn good. A season-high 33 points for the Hawks, also 14 rebounds. Trae Young caught fire there a little bit, had 29 points, but Jabari last night looked like we turned back the clock before the ACL injuries. 33 points, 14 rebounds after the game. Jabari, on what it was like to play in Milwaukee and get a little bit of revenge.
You know, just love being here, love the fans. It's like a home game for me because I just love the energy, and it's just like coming back. You know, it's like my second home in a lot of ways. So, you know, I get excited playing here.
Does that play into the start that you had tonight a little bit, at least at the very beginning, maybe?
No, that's not entirely, but you know, just trying to keep doing that as I keep on playing. Yeah.
You guys are in that big hole after one quarter, but to be able to come back and make a game of it so quickly, really. What does that say about the group that you guys have and what you're doing?
We got a pretty good group. It's solid, but it's got to keep on building, got to keep growing, because we don't want to let this get too out of hand, because we can get 4-20 real soon if we don't sneak a win here soon.
Yeah, so the Atlanta Hawks, not a very good basketball team. However, they do got a lot of talent on that team, and Jabari looked pretty damn good last night, showed some flashes. However, that's kind of what Jabari does. Starts off hot, he gets you buckets, but what did he do at the defensive end? Evan, do you root for a guy like Jabari Parker once he's gone? I mean, you know, second pick of the draft or...
It wasn't the most, you know, it was an ugly breakup because Jabari was complaining about playing time and it didn't seem like he was really intent on staying here and we didn't want to pay him the money. But I don't think I'll ever be able to hate him just because when we drafted him, he was seen as the franchise savior. And even if he didn't live up to that, he did some fantastic things in the community. And when he was on, he was one of the best offensive players in the league. I'll stand by that. When he's 100% motivated and committed, he does look really, really good. So I don't hate him. I don't think I ever will. Some players, when they leave, I'll hate him, but he's not one of those guys.
No, I find myself rooting for Jabari, and you kind of said it right there. Regardless of what he does on the basketball floor, I think he's a great person and a great guy off of the court as well. And so I do root for Jabari Parker. It looks like he's got his body in better shape, and he looked pretty explosive at times last night. So I will continue to root for Jabari Parker. Also had some comments yesterday that I saw pop up on my Twitter feed where Jabari said that he would welcome a return to Milwaukee, would never rule anything out, which I find to be kind of funny when we make big deals of things like that. Because guys say stuff like that all the time, and then we overblow it, and it becomes clickbait. I feel like, what is he supposed to say in that situation? Nah, I hated it there. I never want to return. Hate cheese curds.
I read that comment from him, though, and like went back to the whole interview. He loved it here. Like, yeah. He kept saying, like, it's still the best fan base, which is hilarious because he's not here anymore. And like he said just in that clip you played right there, that it is home to him. And he said that he wouldn't rule out coming back even as early as next year.
Yeah, and I don't think that happens. Also, do you think him and Giannis get along? Do you think that's a friendly rivalry? I asked Matt Velasquez from the Journal Sentinel that at the top of the hour. I don't know. It seems like there's some animosity between the two of them. I don't know that they get along. In a lot of locker rooms, right, there's the alpha. That was the reports when Jimmy Butler didn't want to play with Derrick Rose, or back in the day, Jason Kidd and Jamal Mashburn or Jim Jackson. Like, a lot of guys want to play with the ball in their hands. It looks like those two, I don't know that they get along.
See, that's where I'm not sure, because I think that there was some playful banter between them, and I feel like there was a healthy rivalry. Like, I remember when he was still here, they would go at each other in practice because they knew that it would make each other better. So I don't know. I feel like it's possible that they might not like each other, but I also think that Jabari has grown up since he left. He had that wake-up call of, oh, I've gotten traded a couple of times, and my market isn't what I thought it was going to be.
Right.
I wasn't the player that I thought I was. I wasn't that number one focal piece. Giannis was. I'm wrong.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you right there in what you said there, because with Jabari, I mean, his career could be over today. Like, it legitimately could be over, not just because of the ACL, because of the knee injuries, but it didn't work out in Chicago. He didn't want to defend. He was playing for a doofus of a head coach, let's be honest, and Jim Boylan, one of the worst in the NBA. Wasn't a great fit, but Jabari, I feel like he had to get his body right. And he looks like that's what he did. Like, he put on some more muscle, lost some of that baby weight that he was carrying around, and he looks healthy, he looks happy, which is a big difference. And he's getting some playing time. Best part about him playing in Atlanta for Jabari is that he does not have to play any defense in Atlanta. So that's a great fit for him, because he could put up 15 to 20 shots a game. He could get his 20 points and his 10 boards when he wants to, and he doesn't have to defend because it's a bad basketball team. They have 4 wins this season. 414-799-1250. Phone lines open all throughout the day. You could also tweet at the show at 105.7 FM The Fan. Let's go out to Brookfield. We'll talk with Joe. Joe, happy Thanksgiving, bud. Joe.
Hey, guys. Enjoying the show.
Thanks, buddy. What's up?
Quick question. My company has 2 season tickets for the Bucks. We've had for several years. Don't go to a lot of games, but was at the game last night, so I don't watch them. I watch them, but not like you guys. What's your take on Wes Matthews versus Connerton? Because every time I see Wes Matthews out there, he does nothing. He hits an occasional 3 after taking about 8 shots. And it just seems like Connerton is just got so much more energy and gives so much more to the team. I don't understand.
That's a great phone call. Appreciate it, Joe, and enjoy your Thanksgiving, buddy. And so with Wes Matthews, the thing about Mike Budenholzer is he really does like his veterans. Like, he likes his vets out there. You could tell with Ersan getting playing time. That's why Kyle Korver was brought back in, because Kyle Korver played under Mike Budenholzer. In fact, the only All-Star appearance that Kyle Korver has in his career was under Mike Budenholzer on that Atlanta Hawks team that won 60 games. He likes guys he's familiar with. He likes guys that'll defend, that'll knock down jumpers, and he likes the veteran presence. And I feel like that's why it took Dante, Sterling Brown, DJ Wilson. These guys have to continue to earn Mike Budenholzer's trust, because I don't think he trusts the young guys right away. I think he likes Wes Matthews in that spot. I agree. I like to see Pat Connaughton get some minutes as well, because he gives you effort on the defensive side of the ball. He could block a shot. He's diving for loose balls. He could hit an occasional shot. He's a solid athlete. I do like Pat Connaughton. I don't think he's ever going to move into the starting lineup. He is one of Bud's guys. He's a situational type player. I think there will be times when we'll see Pat play 25 minutes, and I think there will be some games where we see a did not play coach's decision from Pat. Evan?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I've loved Dante. I thought that he was the right person for us to draft at that position last year because he is just pure offense, and we needed that from a guard. And it sucked that he was hurt last year, but we right now pretty much have a first-round pick on the court right now who is playing incredibly well. So I think that he deserves that spot in the starting rotation. I love Wes Matthews. I thought it was a fantastic signing, but I don't think he should be the starting shooting guard because he doesn't have that step that he used to have.
Right, and I continue to say it with Wes Matthews and with some of these guys, and it's kind of cliche, but it doesn't matter who starts the game. It matters who finishes these games out, and I don't see Wes Matthews in the Eastern Conference Finals being on the floor with 5 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter, nor do I see Kyle Korver, unless it's a situational thing where you want him to knock down some free throws, you're going to draw up a play for him to hit a three, because who the hell are they going to guard on the Philadelphia 76ers, on the Celtics, next year on the Nets? Like, who's guarding KD, Kyrie? 414-799-1250, we'll go out to Tosa, talk with Chip. Happy Thanksgiving, bud.
How's it going, man?
Pretty good. How you doing, bud?
Not too bad. I heard you guys talking about Matthew. So yeah. What I'll say about that is, you know, Brogdon's gone, okay? So he was kind of our other clutch guy, all
right? Right.
And if you kind of look at the playoffs last year, Wesley Matthews played really well in the playoffs for the Pacers, okay? So hopefully he can play pretty good for us in the playoffs this year, you know? And he signed for a veteran minimum, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, him and Korver are on the cheap. That's the thing. Yeah, the vet minimum.
So that's kind of what the point I called in for with the whole Middleton thing, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't want Middleton, okay? Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But for the price they paid, it just kills me. And I feel like, what's the difference between Parker at 20 and Middleton at 35? What's the difference? They're averaging about the same. I mean, you take that in the equation of $15 extra million. I mean, I feel like if Giannis leaves, it's going to be because we couldn't get enough quality players. A real superstar. When you pay someone $35 million on average, he's supposed to be a superstar. He can create his own shot. We don't have enough guys like that can create their own shot. You know what I mean?
No, I completely agree. I've been saying that now for the last year and a half. I was saying that in the playoffs last year. I like Malcolm Brogdon, and he was playing with the ball in his hands, and he could actually create his own shot, get to the basket. I'm with you on that, and that's kind of the knock on Chris Middleton. The thing with Middleton is I like Middleton. I'm with you, man. I really do like Chris Middleton, and I think he's a really good player. I mean, he's an all-star for you know. But my problem with him is he's got kind of like an old man game. He reminds me of that guy that you see at the YMCA. He's not going to take a game over. He's not explosive. He's not Kyrie. You know, especially when we're watching like with League Pass and we're watching around the league and we're seeing guys like Luka. We're seeing these superstars that are explosive. They're getting to the rim. And then you watch Middleton and he's kind of just like the coolest dude on the court, right? Like he's picking his spots, but he looks slow. He's barely moving around there. But the thing about Chris Middleton is that's who Giannis wanted to be paired with. Like, he likes playing with Chris Middleton. I don't think he liked playing with Jabari. In fact, I know damn well he didn't like playing with Jabari.
He wanted Jason Kidd to be the coach, too.
Yeah.
It's not about what he wants.
True,
it's what's going to be beneficial for the team.
That's true.
Know what I mean? And the thing with Middleton, if you're going to be that guy and he is that guy, well, be a lockdown defender then. Be able to shut down the best guy's opponent. You know what I mean?
No, I do. The defensive side of the ball, man, and that's the thing, man, because that is where Chris Middleton does need to step up, especially on nights when he's like 4 of 15, 4 of 16, and the shots aren't dropping. You better be giving effort on the defensive side of the ball for that paycheck. Chip, enjoy your Thanksgiving, brother. I got to let you
take
run
around. Take care, guys.
Thanks, man. 414-799-1250. We'll be with you guys throughout the morning here. We got to get to an update with Evan Heffelfinger. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more Bucks basketball. We're going to get to the Brewers. We're going to get to the Packers. We're going to talk some Bucks hoops, though, to start this morning off. It's the Chuck and Winkler Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.